Off the Ball, GAA.
2 years of hurt, it's a genuine thing, like, Joe. They were a long 2 years. Yeah, it's hard to put into words, really, but I suppose when we came back at the start of this year, it just felt like there was something different, Joe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
Thanks to Movember ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. It's John Duggan with it through to five. You can WhatsApp us 0879 180 180. So the theme of our next conversation is how we can talk about mental health in sports, teaching young players, parents, coaches and volunteers about how to broach a vital subject. We're delighted to have on the line Movember ahead of the game facilitators Finian Cawley, for many years a dual player with Sligo, and Charlene Tyrrell, an All-Ireland Intermediate Champion with the Leitrim Ladies Footballers. Finian and Charlene, you're very welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi John, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good to talk to you guys. We're speaking to you remotely there. And Finian and Charlene are ambassadors and workshop facilitators for the Ahead of the Game program for Movember in tandem with the GPA. So the Movember Ahead of the Game program has reached over 16,500 GAA and GPA members in its first 3 years, equipping young athletes with the tools to build mental strength and promote open dialogue. For more information, visit aheadofthegame.movember.com. Be advised that the content of this piece may be sensitive to some ears, and if you're affected by any of the issues in this piece, please contact the Samaritans at 116123 or email at jo@samaritans.ie. So Finian, why did you get involved in Ahead of the Game yourself?
I suppose my background, I was a teacher by trade, so I was a secondary school teacher, and part of my role there, I was in leadership, so I was an assistant principal, and I was doing a lot of patchwork, and I seen the same trends over and over again, so really came up to, I jumped at it as kind of a proactive thing to be able to do, rather than dealing with things reactively. You know, you'd see behaviour happening, and then trying to deal with the fact after it happened. So when this kind of came up, I jumped at the chance because it was being able to teach young, I suppose, athletes mainly, but young kids, the little toolkit, we kind of call it, to be able to kind of sort of self-regulate themselves, deal with things rather than kind of lashing out and having behavioural issues. So it kind of happened very organically, being brutally honest, John. But yeah, it's been amazing. The last, been doing it kind of over 2 years now, both myself and Charlene. But it's been an unbelievable experience and has given me an awful lot of purpose, being brutally honest. But yeah, that's kind of my background, how I fell into it.
So what form do the workshops take for you, Finian?
The form of the workshop, so we do a 1 hour workshop with whatever, so they can be from probably under 14s all the way up to kind of minor level. So we do an hour workshop with the kids, and then we do an hour workshop with the parents. And I kind of love that kind of dynamic, because the dynamic in the GAA is really, really unique, because you have parents are so, so involved with their kids' sporting lives. So they're all learning together. So I kind of see it as like the community is learning together, because kind of a good few workshops, the players can learn something and then they go to talk about their parents, and the parents have no clue what happened. So they can't really have that dialogue or that conversation. Whereas in these workshops, the parents are kind of learned as well, and the coaches, and then them conversations can happen afterwards, because they've all kind of gone through the same kind of content and learned the same kind of soft skills we talk about. So it creates kind of real kind of inclusive community that's able to talk about these things.
And what's been your own journey when it comes to these kind of topics and mental health, that whole area yourself, Finian?
Yeah, I suppose we talk about this a lot. The way I kind of look at this was the kind of stuff that I wish I had when I was their age, because I don't think this is an uncommon kind of theme or an uncommon thing for me to talk about, especially young people going through their teenage years. There's obviously a lot of challenges. There's a lot of change going on. You're starting secondary school. There's so many things happen in your life, but if something like this was available when I was kind of a teenager, it definitely would have saved me an awful lot of time, John. A lot of wasted kind of figuring things out. But yeah, like the way we always kind of say it to the kids is, as I've mentioned there before, is it is the toolkit, that the knowledge and the educational piece that kind of I wish I had, because probably there were some things I had gone through and probably in my late teenage years, early 20s, that if I had this stuff, I probably would have been able to solve it myself. But again, you know, hindsight was foresight, but it's amazing that this is being presented now to young kids and that they're learning them kind of skills for themselves.
Charlene, why did you get involved in the head of the game from November?
So this is we're going into our third year now, myself and Finian, and I suppose I'm really passionate about mental health and helping young people. I was very open, you know, in the past about talking in the media about my own mental health struggles. So why I ended up wanting to get involved in this programme was I'm actually the Healthy Clubs Officer for our club, Mobile GA, and I actually organised the workshop. I wasn't involved at the time for the underage boys team, and I sat in on it, and Niamh Hanafy and Mickey Quinn were the facilitators that day, and I was just completely blown away by the workshop and instantly wanted to get involved. So I was straight on to Niamh asking her how I get involved in the programme and the work they do, and that was how I got involved. And why is just I'm so passionate about helping young people with their mental health, and I suppose normalising the conversations around mental health within our clubs and within our communities.
Because you were with Beecham, you won an intermediate in 07, and then you won one, 17 years later? But between that time, Charlene, you were in England, and you know, you had a child, and you had a good days and obviously some challenging times as well.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to, I started playing with Leitrim at the age of 16 and was lucky enough at 20 to win my first All Ireland with Leitrim Ladies. And then in 2010, I sort of came and went like the wind when I was younger. And 2010, I didn't know when I went to work in Portugal for the summer, I wouldn't kick a football for 10 years. So when I moved back home to Ireland in 2019, then I started playing football again. But, you know, throughout my 20s, after I had my son, I had a difficult few years and suffered for many, many years with depression. And like Finian, if I had this workshop when I was younger, and had an understanding about mental health and depression, and I suppose the toolkit that we provide for young people on how to help myself, I wouldn't have suffered for as long as I did. So I think what we do is simple, but it's so effective. And, you know, I always say to the young people and the parents and coaches, it's not something that we might need today, tonight, you know, or tomorrow or next week. But like myself, down the line, when mental health struggles do arise or hard times in their lives, because it's inevitable that you know how to help yourself and I suppose spot the signs and symptoms in yourself and others.
Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit Walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
Yeah, and a dressing room is important in that regard, Charlene, isn't it? Just having a good bond and relationship with the teammates and having the tools to be able to open up in a safe way.
Hugely important. Like we always emphasize in the workshops, the importance of mental fitness and physical fitness. It's one of the slides. And until I started being a facilitator, I would never have ever understood how important mental fitness is in regards to being able to play sport. So when you're in the dressing room, it's vitally important, because we're not just there to play football and, you know, to win games. We're there because we love the sport. We love what we do. We have pride in our jersey, whether it be a club jersey or a county jersey. And we all want the same thing. But it's important to remember the bigger picture. There's people behind the players. And to know that, you know, I know myself, I could have some of the worst days of my life and go to football training that evening and just be around the girls and be in the dressing room and feel like you belong and you're part of something bigger than you is hugely powerful. So it's vital, yeah, to be part of that and be in the dressing room. And I suppose for me, doing the work I do and being like the most senior member now of every team I play on, to remember that you know, there's so many people in that dressing room who, like me, could have a terrible day or have something really bad going on in their personal life, and you're just able to recognise it and, you know, touch base with them subtly and just be there for them as well, off the field as well as on the field.
Yeah, it's about removing stigma, isn't it, Charlie? And also that sport can be a lot better at this. And I'm sure from when you started playing with Leitrim to now, it is much better.
Huge. Like, I know in my 20s... I had a girl on our team who lost two siblings to suicide. And, you know, at the time I didn't know anything about suicide. And God forbid you ask anyone, because don't talk about that, you'll bring it upon our doorstep. You know, so it was sort of something that we all internalized and never spoke about. Whereas now I think because we're normalizing the conversation and the stigma is sort of, you know, it's not broken entirely. There's still a long way to go, but them conversations are easier to have and easier to bring up. And I think talking to people around suicide and mental health, once you say the word and break that barrier, then, you know, the floodgates open and, you know, people are able to open up and express themselves and confide in you. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult, very tough as well, obviously. I was having a conversation with Saoirse McCarthy and with Anton Toehill, Finian, last year about their work as facilitators. And Anton told me that, like, he has to go through even training as well before he speaks to anybody in the first instance. As a mentally healthy person, he would have to go through that. And I'm sure you've done the same.
Yeah, we have to go through mental health first aid training, so we have to, that's part of our training as a facilitator. And I suppose, like, that has to be done through the view that you have to be, you know, we have supervision sessions as well too, John, so like you have to do two individual sessions, you know, because you have to make sure that you're looking after yourself too. Like, you can't pour from an empty cup, as they say. But yeah, we have to have first aid training, mental health first aid training done, so when you're going in, then you're able to have these conversations and know which way to approach. Like, I think that's the secret sauce to kind of these sessions, is you are talking about, you know, difficult things, you know, and our job as a facilitator is to get people to open up, but do it in a kind of a way where they're kind of, like, our workshops are very interactive, they're very fun. It's not, we try not to make it as heavy. And it's amazing, like, the feedback you get, like, parents after workshops saying, Jesus, I didn't think now was going to be anyways like that. Like, the amount of the feedback we've got, like, that has been incredible over the last probably two years. So I think that's the beauty of it as well, is to be able to, by doing that training, you're able to navigate and be a positive influence then, you know, on the groups that you actually sit in front of.
Anton and Saoirse, when they were here last year, Charlene and Finian talked to us about a workshop tactic called the Smart Aleck Technique. I don't know if you're still involved in, is that a sort of thing you do, Finian, but about asking, listening, encouraging action, then checking.
Yeah, so that's kind of like an acronym. So my background is I teach maths. Like, I'm a maths teacher, and I always kind of relate to them. Like, has anybody ever heard of, like, BIMDAS or BOMDAS? Have you ever heard of that? Like,
no.
In school or maths? It's just like an algebra thing people use to kind of remember what they're doing in terms of algebra. But then they're like, oh, yeah, so, oh, yeah, it's the same thing. So they can relate to it, really. But, yeah, it's just about asking, listening without the judgment piece, encouraging people to take some action, then checking in. So it's just like a framework, because you can all talk about, you know, what it looks like, what the likes of depression and anxiety look like, but how do you actually help a person, or how do you help a teammate, which is the name of the workshop we do. So Aleck is the framework that you can follow, and then we provide them with, like, resources that they can give to their friends, or, you know, numbers or helplines that they can, you know, touch base with them and be like, here, you need to take some action, I've noticed something in you. So that's what it's all about, really. It's just about the how do they actually help if they see something in a teammate or themselves.
And what you wanted to, obviously, Finian, is for as many people to get involved in this if they don't know about it, that this is a really good idea and a good a thing for GAA Club to get involved in, and the more we have awareness of this, the easier it'll be for people to access it and then to benefit from it.
Yeah, well, like if you look at it, like what this program does and the way it's kind of ran is that it gives us kind of direct access to kids and to parents that are involved in communities. Because like, if you think about a GAA club, it's kind of like the center of a community, really, John. Yeah. So like by going in and by, you know, using the approach that you're chatting to kids and then the parents and coaches afterwards, you're getting so much value there because you're using sports as a medium to talk about this stuff. Because people can relate, because obviously sport, like I don't know about you, but like I've lost a lot more than I won, and people can relate with like going through tough times. And then you're using this then to kind of link with that. So it's kind of very smartly thought out, and I'd encourage any club to get involved, because I don't know anybody who hasn't been affected by mental health or by stuff that has happened in their communities, and to be able to kind of come together as a community, talk about it. Like there's a lot of power in that. You know, it's a very, very powerful thing to be able to do. And like the feedback we get is like, it just brings people an awful lot closer together. It makes them more aware of what to look out for, because as we always say, the beauty of doing it like that with the parents and the kids and the coaches is they all know what each other is like because they've spent their whole lives growing up around each other. So if something is a little bit off and they're looking, they're saying, okay, something's not on here, then they know what to look out for, and then they know maybe how to approach it in the best way possible by doing the workshop. So it's a win-win on all levels. If you were, you know, I'd encourage every club to get involved in it, yeah.
And as well, Charlene, you know, when you were a teenager, when I was a teenager, life's different and in ways with the way nature of online and phones and everything can be quite difficult for teenagers now.
Yeah, I have a 15-year-old son, so I know all about it. But it is different when we grew up. I think young people, because of social media, have a lot more pressures on them, and they feel like, I suppose, they're being judged or critiqued, or they're falling behind if they're not, like, you know, X, Y, and Z on social media. Whereas we didn't have that, you know, say if a young person was getting bullied at school, or I was getting bullied at school when I was younger, you could come home and home would be your safe place. But now young people come home and they have their lives in their hands on their phones, and it follows them home. So they essentially have no hiding place. So we didn't have that to contend with when we were younger. And I actually feel completely blessed. I never had social media when I was younger, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, I do other work in schools with the LGFA and with young girls, and a huge one that comes up around social media is, you know, their body image, and it puts them off playing sport, you know. So it's really, really hard for us to comprehend what young people have to deal with today compared to us. I think we're very lucky in the environment we grew up in.
This is off the ball. Yeah, sorry.
Consideration as well, how different it was for us growing up than the young people today.
Sorry, you're remote, Charlene, so I thought you'd stop speaking there. So sorry for interrupting you. This is Off the Ball Saturday News Talk. The Movember Ahead of the Game program is what we're speaking about with Charlene Tyrrell and Finian Cawley. Now, Finian, you're from Sligo. Charlene, you're from Leitrim. You've both been at Croke Park at finals. Finian, you were with Eastkey. You were a dual player with Sligo, and with Eastkey, you were at Croke Park.
Yeah, so last January, yeah, we lost a junior Ireland final to a great team from Kilbritton, from Cork, and fairness, ended up losing by a point.
Oh, sorry for raising it.
You're all right. Yeah, you know, look at that sport. As I said, I've lost a lot more than I've won, John. That's the reality of it. But yeah, an amazing experience to go up and be able to perform and compete. But yeah, my background, John, I kind of grew up playing both sports. I've played both very, very grateful and very, very lucky to be able to play both at senior level for Sligo. Played a bit of football, played a bit of hurling, but focusing on the hurling now. But yeah, very, very grateful to have the experience and the kind of journey we had last year with Eastkey St. Fairns getting to the All-Ireland final. Just fell short, but an amazing experience all the same.
You'll identify them with the Kerry and Mayo footballers, because any player who dons a jersey and turns up at Croke Park, now the Levetti 2000, but it's still the same thing. You're coming from your community, you've spoken to the community there, and you're carrying a lot of hope. So you'd be a fascinated observer tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah, like, so just for context, I live in a little seaside town in Escrown.
Yes, kind of small. Good golf course. Right,
the golf course, amazing golf course, yeah. But it's right on the border of Ballina. And I'm currently out here. There's like a Dennis Rowan Festival on this week, and there's currently like a Mayo coloured Mickey Mouse running around the square there. So it's Mayo fever has kind of seeped over the border a little bit. But yeah, just to see the flags, everybody getting behind each other, like the community coming together, it's incredible. It's some buzz now, in fairness. And, you know, you're finding as a Sligo man, it's very hard not to get up to get swept up in it. We have to refrain a little bit. But yeah, sure, it's incredible to see, like, at this time of year, to kind of see people rowing in behind each other and just being so excited about an event. Sure, like, that's the beauty of the GAA. Like, sure, it's all in one there, you know.
Charlene, talk to us about the trips you made to Croke Park and the success you had.
So I was lucky enough to play there twice and win twice. I'd say it's a lonely old spot now to go and lose. Sorry, Finian. So yeah, 2007, when I was 20, I won my first All-Ireland with Leitrim Ladies. And it's funny, when I came back home then in 2019, I started playing club football with Moha Ladies again. And sure, it's hopeless. Like, I hadn't kicked a ball in 10 years, but I was actually going to play Mothers and Others, because in my mind, football was something I did in my past, you know, when I wasn't a parent and I was a bit younger. But got back in with Moha Ladies then, and we won the championship in 2020 for the first time in, I think, 10 or 12 years. And then on the back of that performance, the management at the time with Leitrim Ladies had asked me to come back in. But sure, I was after moving home, and sure, my mental health was still probably at an all-time low and lacked so much confidence and belief in myself. And he was like, no, come back in, Charlene. Like, it's your experience of, I suppose, playing an All-Ireland and winning an All-Ireland. And sure, I came back to train and no one knew who I was. Like, do you know, it was like 12 years since I played before, all the young ones coming up. But yeah, I'm an all or nothing person. So when I went back then, I'm still there. And best decision I ever made was staying, I have to say, because then in 2024, I was lucky enough then to win my second All-Ireland and have Noah with me there when we lifted the cup. So it was incredibly special. Yeah.
You're looking forward to tomorrow. How'd you see it going, Charlene?
Do you know, I love Kerry, love them. And I would be like all for Kerry until I was camping in Mayo this week. I was down in Belmullet, and oh my God, it's incredible. Like, the house painted green and red, incredible. The same man has the car. I seen them in Belmullet, and people on the street selling flags and banners and wristbands. Like, the whole county's gone nuts. And I suppose it's about 75 years, is it, since they last won. So I would like Mayo to win it. I seen a great sign actually when I was driving out of Mayo that said, last person out, turn off the light. So I was roaring laugh, and I was like, there won't be a person left in Mayo this weekend. But it would be lovely to see Mayo do it, yeah.
How do you see it, Finian?
Like, as a West of Ireland person, yeah, you got to back Mayo. You have to back them. We were actually up at the semi-final doing some work with November 2 there, and I was just really impressed with the performance that Mayo gave against Louth. They were really, really impressive. Now, I know obviously they're going to be coming up against a formidable Kerry side that are obviously, and Andy I think has referenced this, they need to probably improve by 10-15%. But yeah, if they can break kind of even in midfield, and if they can, I suppose, keep their conversion rate very, very high, yeah, I don't know, it's just like an energy around Mayo at the minute. They've young players coming through, and just what Andy has created there, it's infectious in that group. They all seem to be rowing in the same direction, and really rowing in behind each other. So yeah, as a West of Ireland person, I know as a Sligo man, people like, Jesus, what are you saying? But you'd love to see success come back to the West, because it's winning All Ireland and bringing it back West of the Shan is a very, very hard thing to do. So yeah, hopefully Mayo will do it tomorrow. Yeah.
We got to leave it there. November ahead of the game, facilitators Finian Cawley from Sligo and Charlene Turr from Leitrim. Thank you for speaking on such an important and also sensitive subject to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk, and keep up the good work. Have a good day, folks.
Thank you, John.
You can WhatsApp us, folks, 0879 180 180, this afternoon on Off the Ball Saturday. We're back with more build up to the All-Ireland Senior Football Final between Kerry and Mayo after this.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
Thanks to Movember ahead of the game, building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
This is News Talk.